Howdy, y'all, and welcome to episode 54 of Dynasty's Child, the flagship fantasy baseball podcast of the Dynasty Guru. I'm your host, Ian Hudson, and I am an editor here at the Dynasty Guru. With me is Keaton DeRocher and Patrick Magnus, and later on, Jake Devereaux. That can be cut if you needed to. Keaton, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm currently fighting off my cat from trying to eat my ramen, but I think I'll be able to power through it.
What flavor ramen did you get?
Beef.
Okay. That's a delicious flavor, so I can't blame a little one. Patrick, how are you doing, buddy? Are you still in mourning after the Oakland A's loss?
That was a tragic game. Yeah, I am still in mourning.
Is the dominance of the Red Sox some sort of consolation for you?
No, it's not.
What? You're so spoiled.
The Yankees are terrifying.
Oh, as opposed to the 100-plus win Red Sox. Yeah, okay.
I just don't like it. Did you see the Moneyball is still alive and well, though? Did you see somebody made a meme that was like, there's like 11 players on the Yankees that are making $10 million-plus, and there's only one on the Oakland Athletics, so. And then there's probably a bajillion.
Oakland A's fighting the good fight still.
Sorry. All right.
Well, tonight's episode will be a special one, for it will be my last. I am moving on from the podcast to a more involved role on the back end of the site, so I won't be able to provide the podcast with the already limited effort that I have been providing up to now. So,
you've got to go. We're putting you out into off to the pasture.
I'm going out to pasture. I'm going to a farm upstate where I can run and play and talk about the Rays all day long, and no one mocks me. I can't wait.
To all the listeners. The mocking.
I'm sure, and the personal avenues, the personal channels of communication that we all have. So I'm sure it'll happen. But.
You're going to go edit all the corn in the pasture. Is there corn in pasture? Does that make sense? That doesn't make sense.
No, there's corn in cornfields.
Patrick, whatever you want in your pasture, you can have.
Thank you.
That's true. It's like personal.
Just a bunch of Ian's.
Aww.
Growing on stocks.
Thanks, buddy. With Haley Ramirez playing for the Rays.
Yeah.
Got a bum that never happened.
That's what we're gonna get you.
It would have been good.
But I'm gonna get Haley Ramirez.
Oh my god, it's perfect.
Haley Ramirez Rays onesie.
Very good. To all the listeners who have stayed with us this season, I am sorry for everything I've put you through. So I'm gonna be sticking around with the guys today. We're gonna be going over the minor leagues. We're going to go over our top pod specs. We've got some fun stuff set for that offseason. And we're going to be going over all the dumb bets that we made. We're going to evaluate those and schedule payups. So that'll be fun. And then you can pick whichever one of these works. And later, Jake will be on to discuss all the usual stuff with the guys. And that'll be it for this episode of the podcast. Keep it a little short this week. If you have any questions, you can submit them via Twitter at Dynasty's Child or email dynastieschildpod@gmail.com. So let's start. You guys want to start with the pod? Let's start with the bets first. What do you say?
Bring them on.
All right. So we have made, as listeners of the podcast know, we've made several dumb bets this season, and the time has come to pay the piper. So let's go over those one by one. We'll start off with the biggest one, the hot takiest hot take bet. It was me against everyone else on the pod that Mookie Betts would not finish as a top two fantasy player this season by our TDGX2 scoring. Now, the terms of the bet obviously indicated second best player, but we have since amended that to make it second best hitter because Fantrax scoring is wildly in favor of pitchers for some reason. But as it happens, I still won the bet. The top hitters this season were Jose Ramirez, Francisco Lindor, Christian Yelich, Trevor Story, and then Mookie Betts in at number five, Trout at number six.
But Ian, listen, let's change it again. Let's change the bet again.
Okay.
This time, second best
Red Sox hitter.
Yeah.
Red Sox hitter.
How's that? Yeah, that works for me. Can
you think? I'm still not going to do that.
Yeah, Patrick, we messed this one up because Mookie Betts is number one on ESPN Player Rater, which is usually Ian's go-to for everything, and we should have gone.
Wow.
Yeah, we need
a sound. So I will say that I expected Betts to cool off a lot more in the second half, and he did not. So spiritually, I was wrong.
Wow.
But I maintained my stance, that my position at the time, that I would still trade him. And as we've talked about a number of times, I will trade anybody. I mean, aside from Homer, I probably wouldn't trade Blake Snell, but that's Homer purposes. But I'll trade anyone if the value is right. So that's all I was trying to indicate with that bet. So, but on another more practical level, I was also right with the bet, so now you guys have to send me a raise onesie for my forthcoming daughter, who should be here in just a couple of weeks, actually. So
looking forward to that very much. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Do you have like a giant? You know, you got to wear like a giant catcher's glove into the operating.
Oh shit! I have to catch the. That seems like a lot of pressure to catch the baby.
No, wow, man. You got to put down.
Qualified for that. So
the way that it works is you get on the other side of the bed and you just start throwing down your fingers for what you want your wife to do. You know, one breath, two breath, push, and that's how it works. Then you catch that baby with a giant glove. That's the magic of birth.
Well, it certainly sounds magical. So that's great. Okay, so guys, thoughts on Betts finish? I mean, I assume you guys are still considering him the second best player in fantasy. I mean, Trout is the consensus number one best player in fantasy, and he's number six on this list. So at the end of the day, it doesn't really tell us too much about these guys. From a practical standpoint, though, let's go over some of these guys. Patrick, you posed the question to me, and I never got your response. Jose Ramirez for Mookie Betts. Would you do it?
No, I wouldn't do it because that's the homer, like the Red Sox homer in me. I just couldn't possibly make that move, but I understand people making that trade. Jose Ramirez is phenomenal.
He is unreal. But okay, cool. I expected that to be your answer, so I'm not surprised by that. Keaton, you're with Patrick on that?
Yeah, it's close, but I like Betts there. Ramirez's position eligibility is interesting, but I still like Betts between those two.
Yeah,
that's the big thing, is that the position eligibility, because like in Dynasty it feels like, you know, outfielders are easy to acquire, or easier to acquire.
That's exactly right.
When all things being equal,
I usually take a position player over an outfielder just for that, for those concerns. So I totally get that. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you have, depending on your league, you know, you have anywhere from 3 to 5 outfield spots to fill, so it's probably not as big a tiebreaker as it should be.
But if Jose Ramirez had second base eligibility, if he has that still in your league, then there's definitely the case for it. Like that's I still couldn't.
Even though second and third base have gotten a little bit deeper over the last couple of seasons, still it's still a consideration to make. So I think that's the only bet I had on the podcast this season. So retiring with a perfect 1,000. Outstanding. Feels good, guys. All right. Next ones. Let's go to the other most advertised bet. Eddie Rosario versus Matt Olson. Keats took Rosario. Patrick took Olson. Winner gets a Bird Dog shirt. And the winner of that bet was Keaton. Patrick, how do you feel in the loss? Is Matt Olson still bay, or are you evaluating your relationship with him?
No, because I believe that Olsen had the better. He's the better player still.
Were you going to try and argue that Olsen had the better year? Is that what you were going to say?
I'm not saying that. We made this bet around the top 500 list, and when the top 500 list was updated, Eddie Rosario was having a way better season than Matt Olsen. But Rosario slowed down a ton towards the end of the year, you know, and you know Olsen just kind of did his thing, which was, you know, hit dingers, hit, get on base.
It'd be not as good as Eddie Rosario. So okay, great.
He did slow down, and a lot of it was injury related. So I feel confident in Eddie Rosario coming back and being really good again next year once healthy. I just finally found the midseason top 500 though, because I wanted to see Eddie Rosario was number 62, and Matt Olsen was 101.
There you go. Patrick, do you anticipate Matt Olsen being higher than Eddie Rosario on next year's top 500?
You know, I think they'll be closely ranked, similar to the year before, but higher. I think they both improved their stocks significantly this year. With Olsen, you know, proving that he can hang, that he wasn't a flash in the pan, and Rosario improving, having just a monster first half. So I think they'll be similarly ranked, and I bet they're both in the 60s. They should be.
Okay. How close do you think they're going to be? Putting you on the spot here. I'm seeing if I can wrangle another bet out of you.
I don't know, man. Let's say five positions.
All right. I'm pushing too hard on this. We won't wrangle you into another Matt Olsen bet while you're in the throes of sleeping pills. Okay. Congrats to Keaton for that. So you're getting a Bird Dog t-shirt sometime soon. Next bet, Keaton versus Patrick.
I gotta make that happen.
Yep. That'll be fun. Next bet, Keaton versus Patrick. Second half, catcher. Wilson Ramos versus Francisco versus Cervelli. If Keaton won, he was going to get a box of Buffalo Burgers. If Patrick won, he was going to get a box of Cisco CDs. That is our most inspired stakes, by the way.
Yeah, we just slapped that together.
Easily the best stakes.
Yeah, that was a good one. But unfortunately, Cisco sales will not be increasing this year because somehow, improbably, Keaton won with Wilson Ramos, despite the injuries. It's fairly impressive. So congrats, Keaton. Where do you think he ends up next year? Ramos. I mean, he had the injuries dealing with in the second half, but still a fantastic season. Do you think he's gonna? You think he's gonna command the bigger payday he's looking for?
Well, he's over 30 now, and he's a free agent coming off a pretty good season. I don't know. He was a top 10 catcher. Coming into the season, and he might still be there just because catcher is weird. And I don't know if he'll get the massive payday due to his age and the position, but he'll probably get like a 3-year deal from someone. I don't think he's going to be like working on these like 1-year deals and bouncing around.
Yeah, that's fair.
To be honest, you guys want to hear something interesting?
Sure.
Matt Olsen and Eddie Rosario finished with the exact same WAR, 3.4. Just in case you're curious.
How about that? Okay, there you go.
Fangraphs WAR, anyways.
Fangraphs WAR.
Well, in my WAR, Rosario was better.
The K WAR. Keaton's WAR has Eddie Rosario better. And K WAR measures Mookie Betts at plus 300. Those are and all Dominican catcher prospects have an automatic plus 5 K WAR. And for P WAR, Patrick's WAR, slow patient first baseman get plus 10 P WAR.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, next bet. Adam is not here to defend himself or chime in on this. That's unfortunate. But you guys took Tukey over under 3.5 walks per 9. Adam took the under and lost. So, Patrick, you'll be receiving an Atlanta Players Weekend jersey. Do you know which one you're going to get?
No, I don't know. Maybe, I gotta go with, maybe Albies. Or Acuna.
That's a good one.
That's tough. I'll probably go Acuna.
No, it wasn't, his nickname wasn't inspired, was it?
Actually, was he even up during, Players Weekend? So maybe I have to go Albies.
Ooh. Let me see.
I have to take a look at their names and see which one's the best.
Actually, oh, okay. Acuna, Players Weekend, Sabanero Soy was Acuna's. It's not too bad.
What was it?
Sabanero Soy. I don't see the Ñ, so I think it's Sabanero, although it could be Sabanero Soy.
All right. Sabanero Soy.
So that's Acuna's for you if you wanted that one.
What's all these?
So,
this is what the people came for. They came for us looking up Players Weekend's jerseys.
Poochie, P-U-C-H-I.
Oh, that's, I gotta go good. Poochie. Poochie for sure. Albies for the win.
That's very good. All right. So, Tukey, what did... what was Tukey's walks per 9? What did he finish at?
Real high. I can look it up.
Well over 3.5? Okay.
Yeah, it was well over 3.5. It might have been 3 times that. Yeah. No. Yeah, Tukey too many walks, dude. That's what I said before. Nobody liked my nickname then. Nobody likes it now, but Tukey too many walks.
It's not a good nickname, but it's an accurate one.
It's going to be his player jersey next year after it catches the internet by storm. Tukey too many wax hashtag.
Okay. The thirst with which you're trying to get this nickname off the ground is really astounding. Hey, what can you do? Okay, so those were some fun bets this season. Congrats to all the winners, including me. And I look forward to many, many more dumb bets. So with that, let's jump on to the Podspect, the minor leagues. So we have – has this been talked about at all on the pod yet?
Nope.
Okay. We are doing something fun for you guys. We have created a top Podspect bracket to find out who the Podspect of the pod is going to be. Should be announced at the end of October, assuming we keep to a regular schedule. So, okay. So we've got a bunch of guys. How many guys do we have here? 1, 2.
So, sorry, I had to go run and chase my cat. What are we doing?
Damn it, Patrick. We're talking about the Dynasty Gurus 2018 Top Podspect Bracket.
Great. Who has the bracket?
I have the bracket, and I'm going to announce it now, by piece.
Great. Good. That's a good call.
Send it to us so we have a visual.
All right.
Thank you. Fine.
I'm not going to be able to just keep who's doing what straight if you just list a bunch of names.
Fill out your damn bracket, son. No, that's fine.
Jake has a bad cold, so he is unavailable.
Oh, Jake. Feel better, buddy.
He has been DFA'd.
Okay. Status update to out. Projected fantasy points 0.0 today.
Moving him onto the IR or the DL. See, I've been playing football.
Scoop up his backup. Adam, I guess? I don't know. Oh, lovely.
Great.
Okay.
Beefy ramen burp.
Beefy ramen burp. The Keaton DeRocher story.
Keaton, you're eating ramen for breakfast. You sound like you're ready for Asia, dude. You might as well just get over here.
Well, what about last time when I had a Klondike bar at 9 in the morning?
Yeah, no, you won't be doing that.
Okay, so the first round of our bracket is going to be the guest play-in, where each of the PodSpecs nominated and subsequently won by our guests on the show will fight for essentially the wild card spot. And then from there, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 8 matchups in the first round, and then down to the Elite Eight, Final Four, and then the finals. So, this first play-in round, we're going to open up to the listeners, so you guys can vote on who you think who you think should play in to the competition. Jesus. So, I know. That's fucking...
Did you send it to us?
I dropped it in the Slack.
Yeah, it's in Slack. I got it. I gotta say, okay. Adam did a fantastic job on this. This is A-plus bracket here. We should tweet this out when appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a capital I in finale, though.
I don't know what you said.
But... Finale. It's the capital. It's the prospect finale.
Oh.
Okay, so the first round, the two votes, is between Christian. I forget how we decided on that pronunciation. Christian Robinson, nominated by Craig Goldstein, and Tirso Ornelas, GBS. Who's that?
The great Brett Sayre.
Oh, great Brett Sayre. You know what? Leave that in. Christian Robinson. the Tino division. Craig nominated Christian Robinson. Brett nominated Tirso Ornelas. And they're going to go head-to-head on that side. And then
also,
on the...
for what it's worth, I have no idea if that's what GBS means.
Let's see. Well, let's check the PodSpec list, because that'll have it. Brett. Yes. Okay.
I know. I knew that was Brett's guy, but I don't know what the G means. I was just throwing that out there.
Sounds probably right, or it could just be a typo. But anyway, so on one side we got that, and on the other side we got Emma Black Bacalari nominated Daniel Lowe, and our own Jake Devereaux nominated Jose Pujols. So, by the time this episode airs, that'll be a Twitter poll for you guys. So head on over there and vote, and then they will go on against the other guys here. Should we announce the matchups now, or go through them one by one as they come up? What do you think, guys?
I think we should probably go one by one. Don't want to overwhelm these listeners, but. I was thinking, should we make predictions, or do you think that we'll be, you know, we don't want to be too influential with our thoughts?
No, I don't want to do that. Well, I mean, I think we're all going to vote for the guys that we suggested, right?
Well, no, I meant for the first one, for the guest one, because we're going to...
No. Well, stay silent on that. We'll let the listeners decide on that.
Let the voters vote.
Exactly. I think Adam had some notes for us here on this.
Do you want to pick your particular favorite matchup? Because, Adam did all the brackets here, so I'm just looking at the...
Yeah, I'm looking at him. It looks good. I'm surprised. I mean, it shouldn't surprise us. Keaton has the most wins of us here. I mean, the three core hosts, Patrick, you and I finished 4-8. Keaton, you finished 5-11 of nominations. Boo. So,
just kidding.
That's not Keaton. Terrible. Not too bad. Some of these names are very exciting. I'm interested to see how they how it pans out. But yeah, I think I'm going to be most interested in the outcome of the Chris Paddock, Corey Ray matchup, which is going to be next week. Unrelated that I suggested Corey Ray and won him for the PodSpec that week, but yeah, that should be an interesting one. What about you, Patrick?
I got my eye on Nolan Jones, Gavin Lux. Those are two of my bays. So That's a great matchup. I'll be looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at that one or the one right below it, Peter Alonso and Dane Dunning.
Yeah, should be a good one too.
But look, you got those two Rays, Brandon Lowe and Ronald Hernandez.
I do like that one. The all Rays bracket over there. The all Rays matchup should be fun. Excuse me. Yeah. So good work to Adam. Thanks for putting this all together. Should be a fun little off-season activity. So great work there. All right, and you know, we got this other stuff. This is okay. All right, and with that, I'm going to hand over to Jake. Jake will hop in and follow up with the rest of you guys, and you'll hear all the rest of the stuff that we have going on.
Wait, hold on. Before you.
Don't let your love. I'm playing the whole thing.
Feel it.
Don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that it happened. Thank you all very much for listening and staying with us. You'll still find my hand at the Dynasty Guru changing anachronisms to other anachronisms and being a general pain in the ass to everyone writing. So it's been great. It's been fun. And you guys are in good hands. Keaton, Patrick, thank you so much. This was a blast doing this with you guys. And I have full faith that you guys will soldier on without me.
Oh, this is so sad, but it's perfect. I just want to say real quick before we wrap up, we say goodbye. Big thank you to Ian. This is what we would not even have a show without you. Frankly, if we did, it would not be organized. This whole format comes from you. You wrote up everything. So, yeah. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that was said because, man, it's going to be rough, Ian. We're going to miss you.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. But, you know, the podcast will grow and evolve. We're probably going to talk about some off-season format changes and some stuff for next season. So it'll just keep getting better and better. So very much looking forward to it. All right. Good luck following this, Jake.
It's got some big shoes to fill.
Yeah. All right. Now, is Adam going to play Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony over this, or is it going to be a separate thing?
Oh, man.
I don't know.
We should have the rest of the podcast should just be goodbye songs. We should never even go back to analysis.
Now for the post-Ian portion of our pod, I will be your host, Keaton Drosher, and with me for the second half is our new permanent third chair, Jake Devereaux, and eat that, Patrick, I can pronounce his name. So, Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Getting over a little bit of an illness, so if I don't have the best radio voice today, that's why. But I'm happy to be part of the show as third chair, and excited to join. It's awesome.
Yeah, we're excited to have you, man. So we will, on this little two-man portion here, we'll go over our live-action reactions and then take a look at the way-too-early shortstop rankings. So, Jake, why don't you start with your live-action reaction?
So my live-action reaction is one of the guys that I had the most fun watching during September baseball, right before the playoffs kicked off, and it's Williams Astudillo, the catcher for the Minnesota Twins. For those of you who haven't heard of him, he started off in the Phillies minor league system, and he's just a really bizarre player. Part of what he does that's so interesting is he basically never strikes out. He's got a 3.1% K rate, and he walks just 2.1% of the time. And when he was up over a 30-game sample size in September, and a little bit before that, he batted 355, 371, 516 with a 139 weighted runs created plus. So he was very, very good offensively. Granted, that's probably a little bit beyond his skill set. I think it's fair to say that this guy is a reasonably strong bat and someone who I'm going to be rostering in all of my leagues next year where he's available. He got 16 games at catcher. He had about 6 games at third base. He played a little bit in the outfield. He basically played all over. So he's a guy with a little bit of versatility. He's got a great nickname, La Tortuga or El Tortuga. I can't remember. I think it's La Tortuga. But the tortoise, because of his size and his look. And if you haven't looked him up, you have to. And there's a great one of him running home and his helmet coming off. And he's just deceptively athletic for a guy his size. But really, I think in a game with 3 true outcomes is basically the norm these days. He's remarkably different than the scene right now.
Yeah. And I think the best part is that picture that you described. When you Google him, that's the picture along with his player profile that's on the right of Google is that picture instead of his actual like team photo, which I think is just fantastic.
Well, that's how it should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think even more into that with the landscape being what it is at catcher, which is just a barren hellscape out there offensively. This is a guy with a real chance to have, I think, even a top 5 offensive profile at the position. And that might be aggressive, but I think he has the capabilities to do it.
Who was it? So I can only... Who was their catcher before?
Twins? I think it was Castro, maybe? Something like that? Let me...
Oh, yeah, Jason Castro. You're right. Yeah he's on the 60-day DL. That would explain it.
Yep.
Yeah. He all the pieces are there for him to get a pretty decent run next year, and just on pure fun to own factor, he's up there with the best of them.
Yeah, he really is.
So I had a couple comments on some terrific performances for the year. Jake DeGrom is the first one, who should be the NL Cy Young. If the Mets had scored exactly 4 runs in all of his starts, he'd be 15-0. Instead, he's 10-9. And if you had to guess, if I put the over-under at an even 4, where do you think the Mets' season runs per game was at? Over or under 4?
I'm going to say under 4.
It was over at 4.25.
Wow, so it was just in his starts, huh?
Yeah, so they literally all they had to do was just be slightly below average for him, and he would have had an undefeated record, and they couldn't do it. Which is just, it speaks even more volumes to games that he played. And another kind of crazy fact, so DeGrom obviously had the lowest ERA in the NL. If you added up all of the earned runs of the starters in the games where they opposed Jake DeGrom, they combined for the second lowest ERA in the National League. So he was going up against everybody's best and not getting any help from his own team, and he still put up the incredible year that he put up, which is just kind of just absurd.
So Jacob DeGrom just basically played a real-life baseball season that was equivalent to one of those fantasy football seasons where every week your opponent scores like 200 points and you put up like 180 and you end up not making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. That's why my fantasy football league now has a league average that we play against every week. So DeGrom should have got a league average.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers that he would have put up if he had gotten that, he's way too talented to be on the Mets, is basically what that boils down to.
Free DeGrom. That's what I'm hearing right now.
Yeah, we just started making the shirts.
Yeah.
I'm market sure that.
They would probably sell most, even around Shea, or I should say City Field now.
Yeah. For my second one, is a little commentary on Christian Yelich. I need to pull up his baseball savant real quick, though, because I forgot to do that before I started talking. Oh, man. There we go. So from the NL Cy Young to the probable NL MVP, Christian Yelich had, as we know, a very tremendous year. Surprisingly enough, so he hit 36 home runs this season, and his launch angle was 4.7 degrees. Now,
that is very low.
That is incredibly low. But the major difference was he just started smashing the absolute crap out of the ball. He had a top 6% barrel percentage at 12.9. He had a top 5% exit velocity at 92.3, which tied for his career best. Was top 2% in expected batting average, was top 2% in WOBA, and top 2% in ex-WOBA. It seems from all the peripheries that he made no change in his approach, except just started hitting the ball a whole lot harder. So his career average launch angle is 3.1 degrees, which is pretty small. So he was actually above his average in this season. But he had 36 home runs. I mean, how much of that do you think is the park that he plays in? Because he got an extra, well, actually, I don't even know. Because he got an extra 20 feet on his average home run distance. And it seems like really the only thing that he changed was just hitting the ball a whole lot harder. How many home runs do you think he could hit if he started putting the ball in the air?
Jeez. I don't know. I mean, I think probably he could approach 40. I think what we saw from him this year was probably a little bit of luck in terms of, you know, some of those balls going out that might normally not. He's doing everything except putting the ball in the air with regularity very, very well. So, I don't know. It's hard for me to, like, look at a guy like Yelich and say that he's capable of 50 home runs, but maybe, I mean, if he, it's possible. The thing is that he's not going to change anything, right? Like,
right.
We're likely to see more regression in that category. I'd be surprised if he's not like a 25 to 30 home run guy next year, even if he keeps basically everything the same. He's not going to change anything being the future NL MVP, we think, at this point. So it is nice to dream, though. I mean, He's a great player.
Yeah. Double the league average in barrel percentage just means he was squaring a lot more up this season. That seems to be the only change that he made, was he made more solid contact, which is kind of impressive for the angle of which the ball was leaving his bat.
Yeah, that was always the big thing with him coming up in the minor leagues, was just how ridiculously good the hit tool was. So I guess I'm not totally surprised that this is what we're seeing from peak Christian Yelich. It's awesome.
On top of those observations, we got three players here that we're going to do quick over-unders for next season. First is Chris Bryant, who over the course of 457 plate appearances tallied 13 homers, 52 RBIs, and 272 average, and a couple steals. So, barring more injuries, would you say he's over or under 26 home runs next season?
Oh, over. Over by a ton.
Oh, a ton. All right.
Yeah, I would say Chris Bryant, if he's healthy next year, hits like 36 to 45.
I like it.
Yeah.
Strong. Over, under, top three, third base in Dynasty. I guess that'd be 2.5.
For Bryant?
Yeah. Third base is a weird position.
Yeah. Top three. I'll say push. I think three sounds right.
All right.
I don't know if I can put him above that. I'll go over. What the hell?
Yeah, I think I agree with that. So, for reference, last year he was number one. Arenado was number two. Machado was number three, but he won't be ranked there anymore. And Rendon's number four. I think, yeah, right around 2-3 is probably where I'd put him.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Pretty good mark.
Jose Ramirez will be ranked at third.
That's right. Well. He will.
So, yeah.
Competition. Yeah. Yeah. Him, Arenado, and Bryant. Or, well, he is Bryant. Ramirez, Arenado, and Bryant sounds probably like your top three in some order. Next is German Marquez, who is Adam Lawler's favorite pitcher, probably in, well, he really likes Berrios too, but he has quite an affinity for Marquez. So in 33 games started, he put up 20 quality starts, 230 Ks, a 10.56 K per 9, 3.77 ERA. Pretty good numbers there. With another healthy season next year, do you think he'll touch 245 strikeouts?
No, I do not.
That's a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, it's a ton. I think that the league will adjust, and I don't think that he's quite as good as he's showing right now. He's a great pitcher, but I just have a feeling that he's going to get chased in games a little bit more than he did this year, especially in the second half, and I think that's going to negatively affect his strikeout totals, so I wouldn't bet on that. That's super high.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think that he'll get under a 3.85 ERA?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I think I agree with it. It was at 3.77 this season, and I agree with you that the league is going to adjust back to him. I think that ends up being slightly above 4 again, yep. Which is kind of typical for him. But, so, total package, do you see him as a top 20 starting pitcher?
Probably not. I think like 20 to 30.
I agree with that.
He's comfortably in that range. I don't think I can have a Coors guy that's not named Kyle Freeland in my top 20.
Yeah, I agree. Agree across the board with Marquez. So next is George Springer, who across 620 plate appearances, scored 102 runs, hit 22 homers, 78 RBIs, and hit 265. So over under, do you think he gets to 29 homers next season?
I'm going to go the over with Springer. I love what he does at the plate. I love his approach. I think that playing in that lineup especially gives him, you know, the ability to have a little bit more protection, and I don't know. I just love the player. I think he's like a 35 home run guy pretty much every year until his skill set starts to erode.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. 27 to 30 home runs is probably relatively easy for him to attain, I think, on a yearly basis. So for prosperity, I'll take the over on that as well. How about a top 15 outfielder?
Yeah, I'd buy that. I think outfield's really shallow right now, which I don't think every fantasy owner is realizing at this point. So I think that's something to pay attention to. The one thing that always surprises me with Springer and Jock Peterson is that these guys were both like 30-30 guys in the minors. And I think one of them or both of them even approached 40-40 in the minors. So I'm just surprised that neither of them decided to steal bases at the pro level. It's kind of shocking.
Yeah, that tends to be something that a lot of people forget once they get there. Unless you're a guy like Billy Hamilton. So, piggybacking onto that, we'll move to the Fantasy League section and take a look at shortstops and some risers and fallers. Jake, why don't you start with a riser?
All right, so my riser for the year is a guy who we had ranked, I believe, 10th in our rankings coming into the year, in Javi Baez. He's just 25 years old. He's finishing off a season that could potentially earn him some MVP votes, maybe even the MVP. Probably not, though. But he hit 34 home runs, over 100 runs, over 110 RBIs, batted 290. And the strikeout rate was still kind of high, but not that high, 25.9%. That's a great area for him to be in. He's very durable, played in 160 games this year. With Addison Russell's struggles, he's going to be the guy at shortstop next year. We're finally seeing that monster crazy bat speed come to fruition and play and show up. I love this guy's profile, and I think he's going to be a fantasy monster for years. And we didn't even mention the fact that he stole 21 bases, too. So, guy's incredible.
Yeah, I've talked ad nauseum about my love for Javier Baez and how good he is. So I completely agree that he's definitely a riser. The riser that I went with is Didi Gregorius. So we had him at number 17, and he has had a tremendous year and really piggybacked onto the power that he had last season and replicated it and really kind of actually had a better year. So for certain, he is going to rise up, and I think a lot of people are going to have him inside the top 10 in the upcoming season.
Yeah, I think they should, even with his age. He's, what, 30, 31? But a tremendous baseball player. He doesn't look like he's losing any athleticism at this point either.
No, he still plays great defense. He's 28.
Really? Wow, yeah. That's younger than I thought.
Yeah.
I did not realize that. It's a contract year for him next year.
I can look that up.
Yankees have some big decisions to make there. I assume he's a guy that they'd want to sign long term, though.
Yeah, I would think so, too. If they don't, do you think that they would move Gleyber Torres over to short?
Maybe. It all depends. Like, I don't know. I think it's tougher for guys to make that move back to shortstop than we give them credit for. And I think Manny's one of the weird guys who can actually do it. Gleyber was not as good of a shortstop as Manny was when he was coming up. So I'm not sure if that would be something that he'd be good at. So probably not.
Makes sense, because usually if you're too good to be a shortstop, then you'd go to third for the arm strength. If you're not good enough, then you'd go to second, which is where Torres went.
Right, yeah.
So he's got one more year of arbitration for 2019, and 2020 is a free agent in his age 30 season.
Okay, nice.
For Faller, so we both originally picked the same guy. So at number 8 in our offseason list, we had Elvis Andrus. And Andrus is a guy that both Patrick and I pegged when we were reviewing the rankings as a guy that we thought was ranked too high. And so it seems as if we were right on that one. Both of us thought that his random power output from last season was a bit of a mirage. And that came right back down to earth, as well as his batting average dropped some too. He did have a couple injuries throughout the season, but it was not a great year for him. Certainly not a top 10 year. I would actually probably maybe flip him and Didi and have Elvis in the late teens, maybe even in the 20s.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the other thing that maybe is worth mentioning too, because I agree with everything that you were saying, is that there's a decent amount of competition just on his own team right now. Jerickson Profar got a lot of run last year and did kind of a lot with it, which is sort of flying under the radar. And I think that Profar could potentially take that job. And then there's a couple prospects coming up in the Texas system too that look pretty good. So Andrus is by no means safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you like Profar, by the way?
I do. And he's still only 25, which is kind of incredible because it seems like he's been in the majors for a decade.
But, yeah, it seems like he got that top prospect status when he was about 16.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the biggest thing with him was obviously his health throughout the minors, but once he, the past couple seasons, he's actually been healthy, and Texas just hasn't had a place to play him. And we all assumed at some point he'd get traded, but they held on to him, which seems like it was the right call, and gave him a lot of run this year, and like you said, he did a lot with it, and he, average wasn't anything that was, would keep him back. He was hitting home runs, he was stealing bases, playing good defense, a guy that certainly could take a lot of playing time away from Andrews if he doesn't, you know, return back to what he was last season. But I don't think he's going to. So if it was me, I would go with Profar on a regular basis. I'm a big Profar guy.
A lot of upside there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my faller, going back to last time I was on the podcast, we talked about Addison Russell. But Addison Russell is a guy that we had in the top 20. Last year, I think we had him all the way at 18. But there's just nothing to like there. I've been looking at his profile. I wasn't a believer in him last year either. But in 2015, he had a 90 WRC plus, 2016, 95, 2017, 85, 2018, 80. The guy just doesn't hit. He doesn't have the hit tool we thought he was going to. He doesn't really have all that much in the way of pop. Defense is stellar. Off the field stuff we talked about last week. I mean, at this point, he's just trying to salvage his career and looks like more of a defensive replacement than any sort of an offensive weapon and total package. So, not to say that it'll never come together for him, but it really doesn't look very promising, you know, even if you took all the off field stuff and threw it out, which you can't do. But I don't like the offensive profile whatsoever. Certainly doesn't deserve to sniff the top 20.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you said. 100% on board.
Sweet. See you later, Russell.
All right, and so with that, we'll wrap up. And a little programming note, as we get into the off season, we'll probably scale back to every other week on the pods, which has kind of already started to happen. And so we will probably put out the next one about 2 weeks from now. So you can look forward to that. I have been your fill-in host, Keaton DeRocher. You can find me on Twitter at KeatonTG. And the last thing I wrote was about Matt Chapman. So you can go read that on The Dynasty Guru. Patrick, you can find him on Twitter at The Green Magnus. Adam, you can find him at The StatCastera. And Jake, you can find him on Twitter at Dev Jake. And have you written anything recently, or are you kind of in the off-season mode or playoff mode?
I wrote something on Over the Monster last week, I think, and I can't remember what it was that I wrote. It must have been really memorable. But yeah, I wrote something about the Red Sox there, and I released my podcast there, The Red Seat. So go ahead and check out that. We will have podcasts throughout the baseball playoffs about the Red Sox as well.
Great. Sounds good. That'll do it for us. Wait. Am I supposed to say something about... Oh, well, it's not there in the notes anymore. But thanks to Caraway for our intro and outro songs. Good work, guys. And that'll do it for this pod. And we'll see you again in a couple weeks.
Sticking when you're lying to me.
And now for your listening pleasure, three grown men pretending to not remember the Vitamin C graduation song. Ian, Stay Goldie.
We're that only halfway through the song.
That vitamin C. Was it vitamin C that was that song from like all of our graduations?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was that it? That one. Please don't. I mean, I'm just
I'd like you to do your own version of that one.
I don't even know it. I can't even remember it. Graduation. It was
C graduation. Yeah. You nailed it, man.
Parentheses friends forever. Good Lord.
Ah, man, that would have been a good one.
This one was better because it had the Office pull-in, man. That was perfect. Don't sell yourself short. That was great. All right.